I'm sore a little bit, more than I probably should admit. Huge thank you. I can't list everybody because I would no doubt leave out. But for me, okay, yes, we've just been blessed with this beautiful floor. I was asked, is it going to take care of the squeaks? I said, A, I don't think so. And B, now we're finding, yes, it has helped, which is a little unnerving because now I feel like somebody may be able to flank me from this side and, like, sneak up. I don't know. But the bigger picture for me Friday and Saturday, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I got to share with you. Okay, so for every, well, one, I was at first a little bit disheartened because the first five or six people that came in the door Friday evening, the first thing out of their mouth was, I'm probably a little bit too old to be down, like, on my hands and knees. Okay? But I'm glad you're here. But we came in, and here's the deal. You have no idea how many people were a part of this, because for every, let's say, and there were a couple of shots I had shared on Facebook just like in the midst of doing stuff. And there was one shot was kind of down this line about midcourt where guys were tapping and going. We had the A team show up on Saturday around 11 to 12 o'clock. We really got in a groove of the 20 and 30 somethings. We really got rolling. But for every one person that was down on their hands and knees, tapping in and getting pieces, we probably had six or eight for every one of those doing other stuff. Whether it was making sure we were fed and hydrated, number one killer of floor installation is dehydration. I didn't throw that out there. Didn't know if you knew that. Keeping us hydrated, keeping us fed. Keeping things swept, keeping pieces ready for us, cutting pieces, sweeping, doing cold trim that we still need to finish, but other, putting felt on the tables and stuff after. So it was like this picture, this bigger picture. Yeah, the floor was installed. But it was amazing how many different pieces came together to do that. And so me yesterday, yes, it was a monumental feat, and I've been waiting years, literally, to do this. But it was more so a picture of how God brings together exactly what you need and exactly who you need, and those stepping out going, just use me. Here I am. I can run a vacuum, I can do this, I can do the floor, I can do whatever you need me to do. So that was kind of what I walked away with it. But yes, we just want to acknowledge how blessed in our little faith family, how blessed we truly are for those that give of time, of resources, and that type of thing. So I want to talk about, we're starting a 3-week series called Baggage, and we're going to kind of talk about just letting it go. What do we see in Scripture that we should let go? But just talking about it, right? Because I don't think we really talk about that kind of stuff. We just jump in, we do life, we're hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. Busy as can be, how are you doing? Oh, I'm slamming. I'm busy, whatever. And we just keep on going. So we're going to talk about that, then we're going to do a study through the book of Malachi, which is a short last book of the Old Testament, this idea of a fresh faith, and then go into a study in Ephesians. And so we're going to spend some time this calendar year going back and forth and kind of doing some book studies, scripture studies, and then doing kind of some topical things that we really, I think, need to hear. We're going to do one down the road called Be Still, and we're never still, or most of us. I should never, I always like to, you know, project that on everybody else just because I'm not. But most of us have kind of lost that art of being still, and quiet and blocking things out. And so anyway, I'm excited. And so we're going to head that way. But this morning, as we get started, I want to share. So one of my favorite places, and I realize there's places that are much more grandiose, maybe more picturesque, but this has a history for me, and I'll elaborate. But one of my favorite places to be is a place way up north, almost to Canada, in Lake Superior. And it's an island. It's an island national park. It's called Isle Royal. So here's if this works. So there's an aerial view. This is an island that's riddled with like a lot of intercoastal or little inner waterways of stuff. But the main island is 9 foot wide, 32 feet long. And every bit of it, except a little bit on either end, is wilderness area, which means you can't even take according to federal law, you're not even supposed to have a wheeled cart. So, like, the guys use canoes and stuff like that, and then they, if they have to carry equipment, they just have to carry it, you know. They don't use wheeled cart. So there's nothing on it. There's no, Hogan can't pull the Pathfinder up, drop his RV, and be ready to go. So Hogan probably won't be going there. I mean, I don't know. Glendale is a place. Glendale does not have mooses or meat. Sorry, meese. So that was when we had gone. The first time that I went to this place, so it's very much kind of that winter vibe as far as the rocks and pines and that type of thing. They only open it up come May, and then usually because of weather, and then shut it May, June, and then shut her down usually by October, November. The weather's too bad. You can't even get in there because stuff freezes over and all that stuff. But the first time I ever went here was with, surprisingly enough, my mom. As I was in the end of my high school years, 89, she said, "We're going to Isle Royal National Park." I'm like, okay, that sounds fun. I mean, she took my brother and myself and her, and this was her adventure, and she wanted to do this. And so I at that time didn't even own a backpack and that type of thing. And so we started getting all this gear together. And went on this adventure. You have to take a ferry to get to it, like a 3.5-hour ferry ride. You could take a seaplane, which is much cooler. I've done that. That's pretty cool. You laying down in one of the inlets there. But you got to go on the boat because it ends up, Lake Superior can have some pretty good, like, waves on it. You wouldn't think. It'd be more like the ocean. Lake Superior is kind of like a freshwater ocean. I've been on trips where we've literally watched people, like, heaving their guts over the back of they're so seasick on this, and it's a 100-foot boat, like, just, like, they're ready to have a good time, and they're green as can be on the back. But so we went, and I remember this first trip that we went to this place, and, I mean, it is just beautiful, beautiful. I mean, you can see Lake Superior. I mean, you could see 20-foot to the bottom of this water, and it's just gorgeous. It rained. I mean, you could have some pretty nasty weather being out in the middle of that. But I remember that first trip we went. I didn't know any different, and so we're like, I need this. Oh, I definitely need that. Like, I'm gonna have pancakes. I've got to take a frying pan. Okay, I literally took a small cast iron frying pan on a backpacking trip, okay? This is not something that I would normally openly admit to people. But it was my first trip, so we'll just leave it at that. Beef stew, I'm almost positive I had like the Dennymore beef stew can, crack it open and eat it. But was young and ready to tackle the world, pack, put whatever you want to on me. Let's go. And it ignited in me this passion for just like getting outdoors, having everything that you need, self-sustain, that kind of thing, and going, you know, to remote places where, where pathfinders can't drive, and RVs can't go. So that was 89. I went back in 09, so 20 years later, went back and took my son, Ethan, and then we're friends with John Clark. He and Marcia, and they have a son named Ethan. So we took the Ethans back to this 20-year. And so this is a picture. You can always take your picture at the one end of this harbor, and Ethan's a little guy there. Both Ethans are. But I remember on this trip, again, what do we need? Okay, here's all the stuff that we needed, quote-unquote, laid out in the living room there on Main Street. Part of it, the smaller pile is Ethan's. The bigger pile is mine. Of all that, now there's not a cast iron pan in there. I got a little bit smarter with that. But all these things that we had to have to get by. I can tell you, we were over 50 pounds per person, like per pack. This wasn't the exact backpack, but this is like a 90-liter backpack. This is huge in the realm of backpacking, unless you're going like more alpine or you're going like 2-3 weeks at a time. But we've got all these pockets, stuff that we can, you know, it's not just one big continuous place. We can put things in the sides, in the top, all kinds of compartments. You can just keep on jamming. I mean, you got space, you might as well fill it, right? And we put all that stuff in there. 50-some-odd pounds of gear. It was tough. Like 20 years later, you know, a little bit older, looked exactly the same as everything. I mean, it's a wilderness area, so I mean, things have matured and grown up, but it's amazing. It's like kind of time staying still, ranger station, all these different things are still, you know, there and operating just like they were. And I've been back several times since. Our most recent trip was in 2017. And so here's in front of the sign again, myself, my youngest son, Layton, and Ethan, who's now up to the peninsula height there on the map, and then a family friend of ours that went along with us. On that trip, much smarter, smaller, ultralight kind of pack. Still got places you could stick stuff and all that kind of stuff. But we were probably without water, but all of our food, we were probably in the mid-20-pound range for a week, for like a 10-day. We were out 8 days plus. And there's the much smaller pile of things carved down. Carved down to what we took there. So as we did that, the biggest change between all these different trips has been what I'm carrying in my pack. We're meeting the same type of obstacles. We're meeting the same type of topography and that type of thing. Weather can change at a minute's notice and get pretty nasty. Rain-wise and wind-wise. But the biggest thing was what we carried with us. When you begin this trip, you can manage a heavy load. I mean, I could throw a 55-pound pack on and take off down the block. And I can handle that for a little while. But the longer it goes, right? The longer you're carrying that, the longer you're trying to manhandle that or womanhandle that, the more of an impact it had on us. So if you go on long distance hike, they say through hikers. So if you're point, let's say Appalachian Trail, Pacific Crest, those say longer distance trail. Within the first couple of weeks, they have this period called a shakedown period. And so what happens is all the things that you thought were an absolute necessity that you need to have, you start figuring out real quick what you truly need and what you don't want to carry. And it's not uncommon at popular pit stops along the way to find gear just laying there. They're like, it's good. I'm not carrying this extra, whatever piece of gear for 4 months. We'll just let somebody else, we'll let somebody else have it. And you weigh the cost, And so they'll do shakedowns and start looking through their gear. Where can I shave weight? What can I get rid of? What can I, get out of there? Because you may start off, doing 8-10 miles, but it's not a day, and it's not uncommon for somebody on the Appalachian Trail midway through to do 15 to 20 plus miles in a given day. But you can't do that with a 55, 60-pound pack. You can do that with a 20, 22, 24-pound pack. And it doesn't take the toll on you that the bigger packs and the bigger weights do. And so whether we realize it or not, we're running around today carrying junk. Some of it's stuff that we absolutely think we have to have. Some of it's just is comfort, and we just don't want to acknowledge that we don't need it. It's something that we're holding on to. But there's certain things in our lives that we simply need to let go of. Let go of in order to walk with Christ. There are things that we just have to let go of to be able to grow in our walk with Christ. And so in Ephesians 4, we're going to be in Ephesians 4 today. The end of that chapter is Paul's writing to put off your old self in verse 22, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed. To be renewed in the spirit of our minds and to put on the new self, created after likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. In verse 31, he tells us, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander to be put away from you. Along with all malice, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And then the beginning of chapter 5, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and slander be put away along with malice. And so he's listing all these things, many of these things, unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, these things that we've got jammed. We've added all these little extra pockets so that we can fit all this stuff in and be able to carry the load. But what we see is over time, even though we think we've got it figured out, over time it's wearing us down on the inside. If you tried to hike an entire through hike with that amount of weight, the impact that that would have on your knees and your joints and just the physical toll of your body. I believe the things that we carry around with us have those same types of physical impact and spiritual impact on us. And so far too many of us are walking around carrying this heavy baggage from years of mistakes, of hurt and pain, choices that we've made. But in Jesus, hear this, in Jesus there is no condemnation for our past mistakes because we are given the gift of eternal grace if we place our faith in Christ. And so it's time to unpack all of this, all this worthless weight that we're carrying around and learn to live free. Some of the baggage we carry around with us, this bitterness and anger because of past pain or frustration, I mean, it spills over. It boils over into our current relationships, into future relationships. There's collateral damage there. We're called, and Paul's calling us, and Christ calls us to let it go. We have to choose forgiveness and repentance in order that we can, like he said, walk in love and be loving toward one another. Now, obviously, to look at an issue, to get rid of an issue, or to start to work through issues, we got to understand what the problem is. In Ephesians, Paul identifies, even in that short passage, seven different things that kind of, to quote, get rid of: bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, malice of every kind, unforgiveness. There is encouragement and life in Christ, but he's talking to us, and my toes are being stepped on, right? And we know, if we look at ourselves, that this is probably even the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the range of these different negative emotions or feelings or attitudes that we carry around with us. Where do they come from? Where do they all come from? Surely it's not like people just wake up in the morning, decide to be bitter or angry. It's Tuesday. But if we're honest about it, many of us get up and we're just silently hold on to this bitterness, anger, envy, and hearts towards others. Maybe specific, very specific people or person. And so the first step in this idea of letting this go is to identify what we're carrying around. Because every one of us are different. Every one of us are different. I think we struggle with a lot of the same things, but every one of us is different. So I would start by bring that process to the Lord. In prayer, ask him to reveal in you. And that gets back to what we kind of were foreshadowing before, this idea of being silent, right? This idea of spending time seeking him. Because we can very easily drown him out in the spirit. But go to the Lord in prayer. Ask that he reveal areas holding us. Take that process to a friend. Maybe you have a small group or an individual that is a believer. And ask and have that conversation with one another. to help identify areas or troubles or blind spots that we may have. And even we're blessed in this area, in our community, to seek out a mentor or even biblical counseling if it warrants that. The Bible is very much for trusted counselors and advisors in our lives. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselor there is safety. Listen to advice and accept instruction. In the end, you will be wise. Proverbs 19:20. And in 2018, plans are established by seeking advice. We've got to break out of this "I've got it" mentality. That's why we continually talk about community, whether it's with a spouse or a close friend or a mentor relationship. We can't isolate ourselves, because many times we won't be able to see what we're carrying around. And we've got to bring that into the light. Right? Once we've identified these areas of baggage, an obvious step is to do something about it, to get rid of it, to start to work through that process, to let it go. And this immediately, what my mind went to was deeply spiritual, was season 4, episode probably 7 or 8. I declare bankruptcy. So, for those that are on the outside of that, it's The Office, Michael Scott, that's Money's the episode. Season 4, he's having some financial issues. He's explained to by their CPA that, you know, one of his options would be to go through bankruptcy. He would have to declare bankruptcy, and the next shot is him declaring bankruptcy. Like, well, Michael, that's not exactly how that works. And so there's a little bit more to it than "I declare anger or bitterness or rage." But thanks be to God that his plan for us is much bigger than just letting it go. There's more to it than just trying to forget about it. God's interested in healing. He's interested in restoring. He's interested in seeing us walk in freedom from these things. So listen, in 1 John, it says, if we claim to have, 1 John 1:6-9, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live by truth. And this is we have to walk in an absolute truth, in scriptural truth. It can't be truth that we are devising for ourselves, but scriptural truth. We don't live by that. But if we walk in the light, he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another. That's that one anothering, right? Those relationships where we have a deeper level than just, hey, how you doing? Doing great, slamming, busy, whatever. But that deeper relationship. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. It goes on, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In the book of Colossians, Paul tells us that you've been rescued from the dominion of darkness. That you and I share in this inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. And things like bitterness, anger, malice, slander, all these, unforgiveness, all these different things. are characteristics of the worldly system, but not the kingdom of the light. Not if we're living in the light. As believers, it's important for us to regularly evaluate ourselves. Consider the fruit we're producing, right? Scripture talks about good fruit and bad fruit. The fruit that we're producing. When we identify, if we identify, we recognize this rotten fruit, this baggage, we bring it into the light. We confess, we ask for forgiveness. In some cases, extend forgiveness to others around us. And God, who is faithful and just, will forgive and purify. This sounds amazing. Who doesn't want to walk in this freedom of light, unhindered by all this excess baggage that we're carrying around? But man, I'm telling you, some of us have been through some pretty heavy stuff. Some pretty heavy stuff, some pretty difficult things. And the process of letting go can be long, and it can be difficult. The process of really putting your fingers on what's going on can take a lot longer than what we really want. I don't know if you've really noticed, but we're kind of a type of people that like to identify the problem, fix it, and move on quickly. Like drive-thrus and all that stuff, right? And so when we realize and we have to work through some tough stuff, we've got to remember this idea, this process of coming into the light. It's not just this simple hop, skip, and a jump from one place to another, right? There's times when this baggage feels heavy. I mean, I'm sure there's probably people, individuals with us this morning that have been so bogged down that they can't, they've got so much baggage that they can't even get out of the bed, let alone interact with others and try and get out the door into their day. We've got to remind ourselves, one, with God, all things are possible, and we have to trust the process, and it will be a process. And it's not a day, it's not a week, it's not a 3-month internship, you know, at a camp or this, you know, a 20-year journey in our church leadership or whatever. It's not any one thing. It could include a lot of those things. But the process of what's called sanctification, this idea of us becoming more and more like Christ, is all of life. And God uses all kinds of situations, circumstances, to constantly conform us to His image, to the image of His Son. And so this morning, when we look at this idea of letting go, we've got to also ask, do we trust Him? Do we trust Him? Do we trust that He has a plan and purpose for our life? That He will work it all together for good? Work it together for good, not that it will all be good. Right? There's situation the enemy means and has meant for evil, and God will use those. Can use those things. And so if the answer is yes, then we've got to begin to let go of those things, let go of those baggage, because the more that we carry that with us, the more damage that continues to do to us in our spiritual life. And when we shed that, then we begin to be able to see and understand more of the beauty that's around us instead of focusing on every little footstep and trying to keep one foot in front of the other under the weight, but be able to engage what's going on around us. And today, it can be that day that you maybe haven't even thought about that from that perspective before, and you're starting to kind of vibe on these different things that are weighing you down, and you hadn't even really realized it. Words of Jesus, John, book of John, chapter 10. He's explaining to his disciple, it says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Some translations may say, "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." The enemy wants to steal and kill and destroy us. I lose sight of that. I get in my routine, I go about my day, and I don't want it to become a fear and to overwhelm you, but we have to acknowledge that there is one who wants nothing more than for our worship to him be broken. And one of the ways that he can accomplish this is by weighing us down with so much trouble and baggage through life that we simply can't move forward. Jesus has come that we might experience abundant and full life. In the light of the kingdom, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that is so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance." So we've got to throw off, but then we've got to have perseverance. This race, we've got to run this race that's been marked out for us, fixing our eyes on him, on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, and for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Do we trust him? Do we trust that he has a plan for us? That he will work it all together for his glory and his good? I just urge you this morning to consider that. Throwing off this baggage that's weighing us down. And it is a process of running this race of freedom, running into the light. So we're going to continue this conversation in the coming weeks as we really look at what's this look like. So I'm encouraged by that, but we've got to start by assessing where we're at. And so this morning, as we have a time to go into communion, to share in communion together, I would just encourage you to pray with one another, to seek out someone if there is forgiveness that needs to be offered. To go to the Lord in prayer and just ask for insight. Because I believe as a faith family, if we can shed this baggage, when we shed this baggage, it will be amazing what He can do through us, in and through us. So as we head into a time of communion, we have four different stations set up around the room. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, I just ask Your Spirit. Your Spirit is here, God. And I just ask that it would just be evidently clear to those that are here with us this morning, God, that Your Holy Spirit would just invade, flood our hearts. God, tear away, allow us the things that we've nailed up and covered up and tucked away. God, that You would tear down and clear and allow us to see in Your light and in Your truth what we're carrying around. God, just to shed that, those burdens, to shed that baggage that we have. God, the damage that it's being done. God, let us come into an understanding of what that looks like and what that feels like to be in, throw that off and be a new creation in You. And God, I pray for those of us that have understood what that means and been a new creation, but God, along the way, we've sewn on pockets and we've tucked things away over the years. And we don't notice it when it's a stone here or there, but when we come to a point, we realize the amount that we're carrying collectively can just destroy us. And so, God, I just pray this morning that as a body, as a family, we would come together, we would realize that, we would look at that, we would minister to one another, pray with one another, counsel with one another, so that we may come into the light, that we may run a race worthy and persevere. God, we pray these things in Your Son's name.